We are grateful to Rick for filling in again at the last minute and thankful to have him home always and share his gifts with us in our worship service. And thankful to hear from Music Camp again. What a wonderful experience they seem to have there, and we get to enjoy it vicariously as they come back and tell of it. And if you're on Facebook occasionally, you see a video or some pictures, and you can tell that that is a week that means a lot to them. Happy to see it. Well, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, a very short story if measured by the verse, but a powerful one, and one that we are familiar with, many of us, from Jesus' journey toward Jerusalem. And so we pick up with the 38th verse, Luke 10. Hear this story about two siblings who were just looking at the same situation and seeing completely different things. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. I've been having to dust a little, having to sweep a lot, having to wash the dishes, having to scrub the pots. I've been having to cook the meals, kiss the hurts and help them heal. Doesn't anybody know that my hurting is real? Well, that's how the song "Having to Dust" began, in a youth choir musical written by the fabulous Reagan Courtney. His lyrics set into place this story you just heard from Luke chapter 10. Two sisters who were hosting our Lord and who were coming at it from two completely different ways. And they get into a sibling squabble, these two adult sisters. My youth choir, my church youth choir from home, performed this musical. It was part of Bright New Wings, 1977 in the summer. I'll never forget it. And Tanya Hawkins' nervous voice as she sang the song that began the way you just heard. Well, I've heard the joke a number of times. It goes like this. If you have friends coming over, don't clean up your house. If they're that good of friends, have them over, then clean up your house. I think that's pretty tempting advice. We never heed it at our house. But I sure do get it, even if we can't live by it as we go. We tend to overdo it on hospitality, I think, if anything. We at our house view guests as a pretty important experience. Take our guest room, for instance. The bed stays made up and ready for company. We have been fortunate to have a lot of visitors since we've moved here, so we keep a place ready for them. Elizabeth has a fancy little bottle that sits on the bedside table with a doily underneath it. And it has a glass that sits over the top of it as a lid, just in case our guest wants some fresh water before they go to bed or during the night. She found a luggage rack somewhere. I don't know. It sits over by the window in case they want to put their luggage there while they're with us. Any first-time visitor, and I love this, any first-time visitor here to Franklin gets a bag of what I'll call local peanuts, certain brand, in a bag with a ribbon tied between the handles to dress the bag up. And it's sitting at the foot of the bed if this is anybody's first visit to our house. The bathroom will, of course, have clean towels out on the counter for them. But there's also a drawer of toiletries, shampoo, soap, toothbrush, just in case you forgot yours. We do hospitality. I'm sure many of you do too. Hospitality matters. I'll come back to that in just a second, but first, an aside. Marriages are all about negotiation, aren't they? 5 years into ours, we negotiated between the two of us a summer trip to Cooperstown, New York. I had wanted to go for practically all of my life. This was a childhood wish. I wanted to go for obvious reasons, if you know what is in Cooperstown, New York. And so we talked about it, and Elizabeth said, "I want to stay in a bed and breakfast." And in a moment of weakness, I said, if us staying in a B&B will get us to Cooperstown and make you happy, then let's find one. We'll do it as long as I get to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Let's make it happen. So we did find one, Elizabeth, somehow without the magic of the interwebs, because the year was 1995, came up with a bed and breakfast, all right. We made a reservation. It was on a working dairy farm. This ingenious couple had decided to supplement their income by co-opting their large, rambling, 100-year-old farmhouse. It was just the two of them living there now. None of the kids had stuck around to go into the family business. And so they had decided to take the house, make it into a bed and breakfast. Now, I had never stayed in one, a bed and breakfast. Either of us had, really, I guess. And I think I had the basic idea of the whole thing down. But I wasn't probably as up to speed on the deal as I should have been before we went. Fortunately, we pretty much had the place to ourselves after we got there for most of the nights that we stayed, because what I hadn't taken into consideration was that when breakfast time came, everybody sat down to breakfast. You and your new best friends who were staying in the other room, and the farmer and his wife, everybody sat down to breakfast together, and that was a different experience. When I'm vacationing, I kind of like to just check into the hotel and be anonymous. When you live in a fishbowl back at home, you don't mind just blending in when you're on your vacation and getting away. And what's more, since we were the only guests for all but maybe one of the nights we were there, the hospitality of the woman running the place was focused all on us. Now, don't get me wrong. We had a great time. The meals were gourmet quality. The place was immaculate. The physical grounds around the place were beautiful. They had a little pond with geese. It was a nice place. We even huddled in the den at night downstairs and watched the Atlanta Olympic Games going on, because by the time the reservation got there, it was the summer of 1996. She even churned their own butter from their dairy cows. I mentioned it was a working dairy farm. So it was a great place and a good stay, and I liked it and all that, but it was just kind of like having an extra mother along on your vacation. So much attention and caregiving, than more than I was used to. And one night, she cheerfully exclaimed to us that we had a special opportunity coming up the next morning. We were going to get to go to the barn and watch her husband milk the cows before breakfast. Now, I grew up with dairy cows. I sort of had the idea down. But off we went, felt obligated to. We were the only guests staying there at the time. And we enjoyed it, but it was a lot of hospitality. Mary, Martha. They were going to host Jesus Christ and his entourage in their house. And the story you just heard is sketched out with scant details, and so we better make sure we catch the ones that are there. In verse 38, it says that Martha welcomed them into her home, we get the impression that she was one of those hosts. She took hospitality seriously. But like so many siblings, Martha couldn't have been much more different from her sister than she already was. If Martha was that host, Mary was not. Mary comes off laid back here. She just wants to hang out with Jesus and listen to him. Sisters, siblings. One of my favorite commercials, ads, ran a few years ago, and it starred the football-playing brothers. See, we're still with the siblings motif here. The football-playing brothers, Peyton and Eli Manning, And by then, both were grown and were starting quarterbacks in the NFL by the time this commercial came on. Now, the ad ran on ESPN Network's Sports Center show. The setup was as though the whole Manning family was in for a special tour on their family vacation. Up at the front, you have famous Hall of Fame quarterback in his own right, Archie Manning, the father of this group. He and matriarch Olivia are at the front. Oldest brother Cooper, the one nobody knows anything about, was dutifully right behind them. And then the two boys, both of them about 6 foot five, the two boys are in the back bringing up the rear, acting like brothers. Peyton reaches over and flicks Eli's ear. Eli has to get revenge, so Eli licks his finger and gives Peyton a wet willy in his ear. Sorry, parents, I'm sending your kids home with ideas. And then they pass the camera walking down the hall, and just as the commercial ends, you see Eli down at the end of the hallway reach back with his leg and kick his brother from behind. Boys being boys, brothers being brothers, siblings, brothers, sisters. That's sort of how I picture these two siblings in our story from Luke chapter 10. You can hear a whine in Martha's voice as she complains to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." Okay. A word on poor Martha's behalf. She's probably the serious one, the responsible one. We might be tempted to assume she's the older sister, and she could be. Somebody's got to see to it that things get done, right? Hospitality was at a premium in ancient Hebrew lands of this time. And so her work was not frivolous, despite what we might glance at the story and come away with. At the very least, any food and drink that was to be served probably wouldn't be ready if Martha didn't attend to it. Maybe there were chores related to the animals that might be traveling with Jesus and the guys. We don't know how big of a crowd this was. Their sleeping arrangements might need to be seen to if they were spending the night. This had evidently fallen to poor Martha to do, and she wasn't going to let them down. She was the responsible sister, and we admire the Marthas of the world. We have two cats at our house, which you probably know far more about than you should have to already, particularly if you're friends with us on Facebook. They are brother and sister, siblings from the same litter. He was the largest of the four, has a quiet, laid-back personality. Senna is a giant, orange, gentle cat who likes his groceries and his naps. Katniss is jet black and was the runt of the litter. She was the only girl of the bunch and far smaller than all the others. We know this because the fellow we got them from has told us all the stories. He had these two for the first 8 weeks of their lives until they were old enough to adopt out, and he's told us the story. It didn't slow her down for a minute, being the only girl and the smallest one in the litter. He says that Katniss would run right into the middle of her brothers and start jabbering up a storm, and then sure enough they would listen to her and then all take off in other directions as though she had given them their marching orders. Now full grown, she is perpetual motion, burns off every bite of food she eats, and still today talks in paragraphs, our cat does. She orders us around these days too, and many afternoons we will come home from work and find out that she has placed her toys in a straight line up and down the hallway or on a staircase. Strange, smart, industrious animal. Siblings, brother, sister, sisters. About right now, you might be like me and are feeling tempted to assume that only one of these sisters in our story we read from Luke chapter 10, Mary and Martha, only one of them got the whole hospitality deal right. That one or the other of them got things right. That's the way I've always looked at this story. that we start off thinking that Martha was being an overachiever, and that, but it was impressive, and she had the place ready, and she had a legitimate beef with her sister. That's the way we read the story. And that Jesus' point then is that actually Mary ended up being the one who was doing things right, and Martha was doing things wrongly. That's the way I've always heard this story. Not so fast. Let's give Martha her due. For she showed her caring for our Lord in her way. A presentable house, a good meal, a welcoming space, the effort itself. These were her acts of love for Jesus. Besides, what if she hadn't? Bo Prosser, my writing partner and friend who spoke here in my installation, Bo has spent his career trying to teach churches by his signature slogan, "People go where they know they've been prepared for and will be cared for." And that's how we choose our banks. It's how we choose our grocery stores, our restaurants, our service stations, and our retail stores and churches too. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me, Martha cries. And I think Martha was speaking out of her love for Jesus as much as she was out of her frustration, but it was frustration. This was important. She wanted to get things right because Jesus' visit and whatever crowd he did or did not bring with him mattered. So she appealed to Jesus for corrective help with her sister. Except that Jesus didn't. Not this time. Because on this day, he wanted to teach us something about the kingdom of God. Some lessons come by sitting, listening, paying attention, investing, being present. He said that this time, Mary had it right too, in a different way from Martha. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing, though. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her, he said. When it's time to mess with the house, that's fine. But when it's time to pay attention to the voice, the movement, the teaching, the guidance, the shaping of our Lord, then it's time to sit down and listen. I always pictured Mary as a flighty flower child type, maybe always operating off in an ethereal realm somewhere, floating above life without a care. What if that's not quite the idea here? Maybe Mary was savvier, more perceptive of how things really were than we realize from this brief story. Maybe she got something that Martha did not yet get. Speaking of, maybe I've never really gotten this story yet either. Jesus seems not to be saying to Martha that her responsibilities don't matter. Obviously they did, but for the moment, Mary's attention was fixed on the right thing. The lessons for the church and for we believers individually are myriad. Pay attention to the hospitality parts of what we do because they matter. They truly do. In our personal lives, we have thousands of little ways to speak genuine, Christ-loving, meaningful care into each other's lives every day. And the church needs to do her part collectively, too. We need to have ourselves ready in this place because people really do go where they know they've been prepared for and will be cared for. But sometimes we need to know when to pay attention to the voice of God. Sometimes we need to know when to stop what we're doing and see the movement of God for what it is. This means some other things too, I think. I don't know about you. Sometimes I catch myself being really busy. My job requires that in a lot of ways. As I wrote this, I was having, the day I was writing this sermon, to turn something down in our community that I was invited to be a part of, because I just couldn't be two places at once, and our church needed me to be in the other place. I had a responsibility I needed to keep. But maybe sometimes we hide behind our busyness and aren't as available to each other as we could be. It's not just we individual Christians who could benefit from Jesus' teaching here, though. Maybe sometimes the church needs to keep a clear view of what is hospitality and what are the things of the Spirit. And that means the tasks we do to maintain and run ourselves are important, but they aren't nurturing of our souls in the same ways as time spent at the feet of our Lord. They aren't substitutes, the things we do, the business we do, for true spiritual nurture. Sisters, siblings, time with God. People go where they know they've been prepared for and will be cared for. Martha had the house all prepared for Jesus. But Mary was the one in this moment who was present for Jesus. She was caring for Jesus in a way that mattered to him. She was available to him. She was ready to take in whatever he wanted to teach. And Mary sat down at his feet because she sensed that some lessons only come to us by sitting in the presence of the divine, just like we are right now. Our hymn of response is hymn number 473. It's listed in your bulletin. And pay attention, because the choir is going to sing the first two stanzas, and then we'll get a chance to join them in the last few. So as you're able, in just a moment, we'll sing that hymn, "Will You Come and Follow Me." This may be a time when you've been with us enough that you've decided, you know, this is the church I'd like to plant my fellowship in. This is the church I'd like to come home to. Or maybe this is a day when, like Mary, you've been at the feet of Jesus, and it's been a good place to be. And so during the singing of this hymn, where you are, you may decide that you're going to sing these lyrics and pay attention to them and enjoy the message as it comes out. Whichever may be the case, the doors of the church are open. Hymn number 473, as you're able, stand if you will and sing.